Good morning. Well, welcome this Sunday. Enjoy seeing everybody here, and we do wonderful fellowship. Praise God for that. My brother Paul, would you mind coming up and praying for us and opening us up today?
You bet. Thank you. Good morning, church family. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and with all your strength. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your continued blessings with and in this house of worship by its wonderful, faithful people. May we be strengthened by your words today given to us by Pastor Albert, and may we all sing your praise led by our brother Mike. Amen.
All right, brother Mike, I understand you're going to lead us in worship, so praise God. Praise God.
All right. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that means the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he takes pleasure in giving us those benefits. Amen. Isn't that good? He takes pleasure in seeing us blessed, righteous, full of peace and joy. I love that. He's a good father. Oh, it's so good. Good to be together. It's an exciting day. Yes, I feel it. I feel it. It's good. We're going to start with a song by Edwin Hawkins. Was a popular years ago, just celebrating our salvation, called Oh Happy Day. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. Oh, when you were. When Jesus walked, he washed my sins away.
See it again.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. Oh, when you walked. When my sweet Jesus walked. You wash my sins away.
Amen. Can I get a witness?
Oh, happy day. He taught me how to watch and pray. Watch and pray. To live rejoicing every day. Every day it was a happy day. Oh, a happy day. When Jesus walked. Oh, when you walked. When my sweet Jesus walked. You washed my sins away. Oh, he taught me how. He taught me how. Yeah. To watch and pray. Watch and pray. To live rejoicing. Every day. Each and every day. Every day.
One more time.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. Oh, when you walked. When my sweet Jesus walked. It washed my sins away. It was a happy, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, yeah, was a happy day.
There we go.
Oh, happy day. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Amen. Let's do Chain Breaker. Because that's what he does. Jewelry stores don't like to see him coming. You know why? You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, same old tricks. You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got pain, he's a chain breaker. Can I get an amen? We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. We know there's a better life. I know there's a better life. You've got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got pain. He's a chain breaker. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. Sing that again. If you believe it. You believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's away. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, yes, he. You know that word receive is lambano. It isn't a passive word that just says, okay, Lord, lay it on me. It means you take hold of and make it your own. You possess it. That's what that means. So those promises means get a hold of them. Apprehend them. Paul uses those terms. So there you go. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Days of Elijah. Because it seems like these are the days of Elijah, right? Just kind of stuff going on. Missiles flying in the air. And things we... These are interesting times. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You ready? These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of the trial of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the clouds, he's shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Can I get another amen? Yeah. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white in the world. Lord, because riding on clouds and shining like the sun at the trumpet, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on the clouds. Shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes. He's riding on the clouds. He's shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Zion's hill, salvation comes. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Yeah. Time to strip off that old man of flesh and throw him on the ground. Learn to walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's do that. I was reading about that, you know. Your flesh, your carnal nature is already crucified. That's been done at the cross. What we need to do is reprogram our habits of our flesh. Right? That we can do. That we can do. Amen. Reprogramming old habits. Ooh, it is fun. You have the authority to declare those things into existence that are not. Speak into existence those things which are not as though they were. So, Lord, we do speak healing of any disease and sickness. Over cancer, we speak healing. Over anger, Lord, over strong emotions that have tried to destroy our lives. And fear, God. I speak deliverance over any addictions, God, that your people have suffered through habitual lust and sin, Lord God. That you would set us free, Lord, from the bondage of fear, the bondage of shame, the bondage of sin. And that's why you came, to deliver your people. Set them free to run with you in the fields. Sweet Jesus. I speak Jesus. Let's do that one, huh? Deliver us, Father. Deliver our children. And set them free. We speak salvation over our families. Sweet Spirit of God. Encounter. Divine encounter, God. Wow, the Lord is here. He's moving, isn't he? He sent his presence here this morning. He wants to do so much more. Because he's God. He's big. He's able. No matter how big the mountain, God is bigger than the mountain. He will remove the mountain with grace.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus to every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. Every soul is captured by depression. Oh, I speak Jesus.
The altars are open.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the within your presence, I speak Jesus.
Oh, yes. The altars are open if you want prayer. You're certainly welcome. I love that spontaneous stuff the Lord does, you know, unplanned, unpredictable. Bring up what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you have raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the glory, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Yeah. What a power name it is. Holy forever, a thousand generations. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord.
A thousand generations falling down in worship. Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who come before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name is the greatest. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name, it stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. If you walk in freedom,
very day, would you sing the song forever to the Lamb? We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry.
Praise God. I'd like just to reflect back a little bit in James 1, verse 17 through 18. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creations. Here we are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your love and this time of celebrating you and worshiping together. We are so thankful, Father, for your mercies. Glory to you in the highest. Okay, with that, I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Albert. Thank you for blessing us.
It's so good to be with you again this morning. I was just reflecting this morning, I think I've probably been to this church now more than any of our other churches on the district. I'm not sure, some of you may not really know what the life of a superintendent is like, but I am in a different church pretty much every Sunday. And when we came to this role, all four of our kids were still at home. Two of them are in college now, and our youngest was only four at the time. And Christine and I had been their pastors their whole lives. And we came from a beautiful and loving and just very, very connected church family. We didn't want to come here because we just loved our church so much. But God made it very clear through a number of different people and means that this is where God wanted us. And we can see why God did that. But it's been very hard on our family not to have a local church that we're rooted in, week after week. And when I first came into this role, I asked other superintendents. We have 78 districts in the USA Canada region. And I said, what is the hardest thing about this role? And without any variation, every single one of them said, the loneliness. It's a very lonely role. And so when I go to churches, I see, this is a beautiful church. I mean, that word just keeps coming to mind. There's so many things about this church that I love, and as I've gotten to know you, and I know more of your names than probably any other church, because I've been here often enough that sometimes I don't go back to a church for 2 years, and I have forgotten everyone's name, and I feel horrible, right? Because they all remember me, and I can't remember who they are, because I meet so many people. But I love that when people come and pray here, there's always somebody that comes up, puts an arm around them, and prays with them. I love to see the men of the church connect and serve together. The worship, the spirit of worship here is so good. I love the way that you love on the children of the church. And so when I come here, I have two emotions. One is just joy, just to be a part of that. Thank you for that. The other is a little bit of sadness, because I'm like, oh, this is what I miss by not being part of a local church every week. And honestly, we live in a time when people really distrust any kind of institutional leadership. So it's not uncommon for me to go into a church and people automatically do not trust me. They don't really know me. And even after I work them a while, just always people being suspicious of my motives and what I said. And I don't always think that that's necessarily me. That's just kind of the culture that we live in right now. People are very suspicious of any kind of institutional leadership. And so I'm grateful, because I've been able to walk with you a little bit more and earn your trust, in that some of you have been through that membership class with me. What a beautiful experience that was. And when I saw Terry this morning, he just had this big, huge grin on his face and welcomed me. That's because we were able to build a little bit of a relationship. And so I'm glad for you and Jan. Thank you so much. Well, none of that has anything to do with my message. I just wanted to say thank you for letting me come here and be part of your lives so much. My wife, Christine, is finishing up a six-month interim assignment at one of our churches that didn't have a pastor. And in the 6 months, she came into a church that only had about 20 people and was very discouraged and had been through two pastoral transitions. And just felt like maybe the district is going to come close the church. Maybe we should close the church. I mean, we're so small now, and we don't have any young people, and what are we going to do? Well, in 6 months, Christine, that church has grown from 20 to almost 50 people. They just baptized 5 people there, including 2 of our kids. Our youngest kids were baptized last Sunday. Their church board has doubled from 3 people to 6 people. And they had 2 people from I can't say where, but from a persecuted part of the world, refugees here, who have found a welcoming family there, and just helping them to grow in faith. So many, many good things. I think 5 people were received into the membership. The same Sunday, we received 10 people into membership at this church. So again, Christine has been so grateful for that time just to be a local pastor again, because this is what we love to do. So again, thank you. Thank you for letting me be here. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for the ways that you just bring us into your family, and you build us up, and you send us out as your witnesses in the world. What an incredible honor and privilege. We're so deeply grateful. We give our lives to you, Lord. How could we ever possibly repay you for your kindness? And you don't expect us to. Lord, the love you give us, the forgiveness you give us, the life you give us is all free. It is an outpouring of your grace. And Lord, may we live in the same way, where we lavish love and grace on others without any expectation that they return anything to us, because we've already received our reward in you, Jesus. We thank you. Would you speak to us today? We want to hear from our Heavenly Father and grow in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, as I've mentioned to you, we belong to a district of about 90 congregations that worship in about 18 different languages. We're spread among a 500-mile stretch from Monterey all the way up to Crescent City. And these are some of our many, many pastors. We have about 160 ordained elders and about 30 district licensed ministers. This is my congregation. These are the people I take care of. Please pray for our pastors. We're really grateful for them. We're glad that you're here with us. If you're going to be watching later on the recording, thank you for spending time with us. I want to talk today about the core message of the Christian faith for a moment. What is the gospel? What's the gospel according to Jesus? Because we are gospel people, right? We're good news people. And honestly, when you go into a church and you ask a lot of people, what's the gospel? You actually sometimes get a lot of different answers. Like, how do we capture the essence of what this good news is? And when people ask me, I'll say, well, it took all these different writers, 40 writers, 66 books over the course of all of these pages to try to capture what is the good news. And so I say, well, it's all gospel. It's all, this whole thing is good news. But how do we communicate it briefly? And I like to go to what Jesus actually said, right? What's the gospel according to Jesus? Well, we know from Jesus' life that wherever he went, he would actually proclaim the same message, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Because the core message of the Christian faith is not actually about how we get to heaven. It's about how Jesus is bringing heaven to us, to earth, right? Jesus didn't come just to rescue us, like to give us some rescue plan to get out of this terrible world, right? Because if that was the gospel, that'd be kind of bad news, right? In some ways, it's like Jesus is like, one day I'm going to fix all this, but for now, just hang on tight. You know, it's going to be terrible for a while, but I'll get you out of here. Don't worry, right? That's not the best news. Jesus didn't come just to rescue us. He came to recruit us. There's a big difference, to recruit us. So the gospel isn't just about how I can be saved, but how we are being saved, how all creation is being redeemed and made whole, how everything that is wrong in the world is being made right through Christ and through his body, the church. That's much bigger good news than about how just little old me gets to go to heaven, right? The whole world is being redeemed. Yes. And so the idea of the kingdom of God was absolutely central to the Hebrew people. It's absolutely central for us in the 21st century. What is the kingdom of God? It is a description of the world as God intended it, where people are in right and loving relationship with God, and we are in right and loving relationship with each other, where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom of God. And so for us, the kingdom of God begins with the rule of Christ, because you can't have a kingdom without a king, right? And so when we live under Christ's rule, we enjoy the blessings and the advantages that flow from being under Christ's rule. And we are the subjects of this kingdom. We are the church. And so prior to Jesus, the Jewish people believed that the kingdom of God was something that was still going to come. And they were captivated by it. And they longed for it, especially during times of hardship and oppression, which was quite often. And so they wanted to know, how long must we wait for this kingdom to come? And when the kingdom of God comes, how are we going to know? When will the Messiah come? How will we recognize the Messiah? How are we going to know? But most importantly, how do we enter this kingdom? And in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus begins his ministry by announcing the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this good news. Now, this was huge, right? Because there's literally nothing that Jesus could have said that would have been more exciting or life-changing. When is the kingdom of God going to arrive? Jesus says, now, today. Yes. This is the day. And how do we enter the kingdom? Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. What does that look like? Well, it looks like Simon and Andrew and then James and John leaving their fishing nets and following Jesus. It looks like a leper saying to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It looks like four men bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus because they have faith that Jesus can heal him. It looks like Jesus saying to Levi, I want you to leave your life as a tax collector and follow me. By the way, I'd like to meet all your friends and have a dinner party at your house. And Levi says, whatever you say, Lord. So repentance is not about feeling sorry for the bad things that we've done. It's about leaving our old lives and following Jesus. Repentance is not remorse. It is redirection. Right? And so believing the gospel is not about agreeing. Right? Repent and believe. Belief is not about agreeing that Jesus is Lord and his kingdom is near. Even the demons do that. Right? It's about basing our lives on that belief, on those convictions. And so if we want to enter the kingdom of God and enjoy the blessings and advantages that flow from being under Christ's rule, Jesus says we need to be all in. Repenting and believing is about completely changing our allegiance and our priorities and our purpose. So there's no way to kind of follow Jesus or to kind of believe the gospel. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. Believe this good news. Leave your prior life. Don't look back. Let's go. Follow me. We enter the kingdom by repenting and believing, by following and surrendering. But a lot of us are wondering, I do many times, especially lately with what's going on in the Middle East, when are we going to see it? Jesus said the kingdom of God has come near. But when I look around, Lord, this world does not look a lot like heaven. It still looks pretty broken to me, right? Like where's the love? Where is the grace and the compassion? Where's the justice? Where's the transformation? Lord, am I missing something? Am I looking in the wrong places? Jesus, how do I know that your kingdom is closed? Like, I want to see it. I want to taste it. I want to experience it. I want to live in a world that looks a little bit more like heaven, where everything that you say is supposed to happen actually happens. Now, when I read the Gospels and see the way that Jesus interacted with people, it becomes very clear that entering and experiencing the kingdom of God begins with me.
Hallelujah.
Right? My heart and my attitudes and my journey. Jesus says to Nicodemus, look, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus says to his disciples, truly, I tell you, unless you change, become like these little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, whatever evidence of heaven we want to see in the world, whatever transformation we think is supposed to be happening, Jesus says, let's start with you.
That's right.
Right? Okay. But what comes next? Like, what about the rest of the world, right? So today, we're going to look at the third chapter of Mark's gospel, and we're going to see a significant shift in what Jesus expects from his followers. We're going to see how the kingdom of God is brought near to the people around us so that all of us can see and enter and experience heaven on earth. So in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Now, Jesus, just prior to this, has just healed a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. And this infuriates the religious leaders because Jesus is like working on the Sabbath. And they start to plot how they can get Jesus killed. Like, we're only in the third chapter and this is already happening. And we read that Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. And a large crowd from Galilee followed. And when they heard about all that Jesus was doing, many people came to him from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and the regions around Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. And because of the crowd, Jesus told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him. Like he could not preach unless he kind of got on a boat and withdrew a little distance. So to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before Jesus and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell anyone about him. I want to keep that scene in your mind for a moment, and let's see what happens next. After that, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And these are the 12 that he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now let's pause here for a moment and just think. Something important is happening here. What is God saying to us? And let's think about these two questions. First of all, the impure spirits who saw Jesus heal the crowds, they immediately recognized who he was and cried out, "You're the Son of God." Why do you think that Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone about him? And then immediately afterward, Jesus appoints 12 of his disciples that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. This is actually a major shift in how Jesus and the disciples have been operating. And so what do we learn here about how the kingdom of God is advanced in the world? When Jesus first called his disciples, do you remember what he said? He said he was going to send them out to fish for people. He didn't say what he was going to do for them. He said, "This is what I want to do through you." Not for you, but through you. And so he gave them a higher purpose. He gave them a mission. And they dropped what they were doing and they followed him. I would too. And I actually did. I've told you a little bit about my story before. I grew up in an immigrant family from Taiwan in Canada, moderately Buddhist family. And I pursued a music career, an entertainment career in Taiwan in my mid-20s. I had a recording contract with Sony Records, and I was singing Mandarin pop music and meeting all kinds of famous people, writing music, and hung out with all of these, you know, like famous rich people. I was living the dream, but I was miserable. And Jesus called me, and that was it. God was doing something so much bigger in the world, and he wanted me to be a part of it. I understood that Jesus wanted to save me, and I was grateful for that, and I needed that. I needed to be transformed and changed. But what excited me was that God was saving the world. And I was like, how can I get in on that? What's that all about? And so this idea of fishing for people and joining God in the renewal of all things, why would I waste my time writing music that teenagers would sing for a couple months in the summer and then forget about? Right? I would have been a fool to say no. What Jesus was inviting me into was so much bigger. And so Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you out to fish for people. He said, yes, let's go, let's do it. But until now, they had been on the sidelines watching, right? Watching Jesus preach to the crowds, watching Jesus heal the sick, watching Jesus cast out evil spirits. And now Jesus says, you're up. I'm sending you out to do what I've been doing. And so I find myself asking, why them and why now? Why them and why now? Well, in answer to the first question, we don't actually really know. We don't know why Jesus chose who he did. The scriptures just tell us Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to himself those he wanted. Those he wanted. That's all the information we get, right? These were ordinary people. Some of them were fishermen. You know how you became a fisherman? You flunked out of rabbi school. Okay? Every kid had to go through religious training, and the ones who didn't make the cut went back and they did whatever their father did. In this case, fishing. Okay, so they're not like the cream of the crop here. And Matthew was a tax collector. People didn't trust them. Simon the Zealot was a political activist. Judas was a thief. These are not the best of the best. But they were the ones Jesus wanted for the job. And if you're here today, guess what? You are also the ones that Jesus wanted.
Amen.
He wanted you to be part of his family. He wants you to be with him and to be part of his revolution of love and grace and mercy. You are the one that Jesus wants to use to bring heaven on earth. You are that person. I don't know why. I don't think it really matters, does it? Right? Who cares? He chose you. He chose me. Are you in? Are you in? So why them? Why you? Why me? I don't know. We are the ones that Jesus wants. But why now? Why is Jesus sending out the disciples now? Well, again, the scriptures aren't exactly clear. But here's what we do know. We know it was getting really hard, harder and harder, to keep anything about Jesus a secret. He'd become a celebrity. Everyone could tell there was something special about this rabbi. He taught with this kind of authority that they had not seen before. He did things that nobody else could do. Everywhere he went, crowds followed, and they were getting bigger all the time. Word is spreading about Jesus of Nazareth, and now evil spirits are blurting out his identity in public. You're the Son of God. And Jesus says, it's time. It's time to go public. Go out, spread the news. The kingdom of God is near. Drive out demons in my name. We live in a world where everybody has an opinion about everything, right? You can become an expert or pretend you're an expert if you have 30 minutes and an internet connection. Right? Forget that this person has, you know, all these degrees, like has 12 years of schooling, a doctorate degree, has 40 years of experience in this particular field. I saw this thing on Reddit. Right? So I believe this over. We just live in that kind of world now. We live in a world of fake news and alternative facts, and everybody seems to have an opinion about God and about Jesus. Here's what I think. I think that Jesus wants the people who know him the best, people who are closest to Jesus, who've actually walked with Jesus, who've sat under his teaching, who have seen how Jesus treats people, what Jesus can do. They know his voice. Jesus wants those people, his friends, to tell his story. Not the crowds, not the pundits, not the skeptics, certainly not the demons, but us, the ones that Jesus has called to himself, the ones that Jesus wants. In a world where so many people are manipulating religion for their own purposes, where people co-opt Jesus to advance all kinds of agendas, where it's hard to know who or what to believe about God, Jesus handpicks a few people, a few friends. He says, I'm appointing you that you might be with me so that you can go forth and you can be my witnesses and represent me in the world. You're going to be my ambassadors. You're going to be my body. We've been appointed for this purpose. We've also been anointed because we've been given a mandate, but also the power to do it. To every believer, God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth and to empower us to do God's work in the world. And just as Jesus empowered the disciples to cast out evil spirits, we are empowered to confront and dismantle evil in the world and in its place. God has empowered us to create a world that is marked by love and grace and compassion and justice and hope and peace. So here's what I think. When you take up the call to become a fisher of people, and you take up the call to become an agent of heaven, you will begin to see and experience the kingdom of God because you will be a part of it. Because you're joining Jesus in making earth look more like heaven. You're working shoulder to shoulder with the King. And so when we share the good news about Jesus and we heal the brokenness of the world, the kingdom advances and it draws near to the people around us. Listen, the kingdom of God is not something that we stumble over and find like buried treasure. It's something that is always, the kingdom is always brought to us like a gift. The kingdom is like yeast that spreads throughout the whole dough. It's like that ray of sun in the morning that spreads across the whole landscape, pushing back the darkness. The kingdom is not something we trip over. It's something that is brought to us, and it's something that we bring into the world in partnership with God. Through the testimony and the witness and the sacrifice and the service of the church. And so when we tell Jesus' story, and when we do Jesus' work, the kingdom of God becomes a little bigger, a little brighter, a little clearer, a little closer. And so here is my invitation to you today. If in any way you've been standing on the sidelines, watching Jesus, watching others participate in the work of God, and you've been watching, my invitation to you is to put your hand up and say, Lord, I put me in the game. I don't want to watch anymore. I want to be a part of it. And if that's new to you, or even if you have been part of it, but you feel like God is calling you to more, would you do something for me? Would you tell someone? Would you come to somebody in the church that you respect and admire and say, God is speaking to me, and I don't know what to do with this. Maybe you do. Maybe it's very clear. But just say, I want to be a part of what God is doing in the world. I'm so tired of watching. I want to be a part of it. I want to see it. I want to see it with my own eyes because my own hands are being used to build it. You will see something if you are part of building it. And that's why Fortuna Church of the Nazarene is here, to join God in the building of God's kingdom. Right? Isn't that why we're here?
Yes.
And so thank you so much, friends. I have such affection for you now, having been here a number of times. Can I pray for you? Lord, what you're doing in the world is so amazing and exciting. And it's long past time for us to be watching you do these things. You sent the disciples 2,000 years ago. You've been sending people ever since. This is not a time to watch. It is a time to participate. So thank you, God. Thanks for the people in this church that are doing that and teaching others to do the same. This is what it means to make disciples, not people who believe, but people who follow. We love you, God. Bless my sisters and brothers here. Let them know how much you care for them and that you are recruiting them to something so much bigger than ourselves. Help us to set aside our teeny little dreams and to embrace the dream that you have for all humanity and all creation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Friends, may God bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, to grant you peace that you might be a peacemaker in a world that desperately needs hope. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. That was an awesome message. So praise God. Remember, Jesus is in your heart. And just go and do whatever he asks you to do. Have a blessed week. Amen.